It's really good to see you, all of you here tonight. The Pretoria crowd keeping it strong. Everybody else is on holiday or have come back from holiday. But thank you for keeping Pretoria strong. So yes, really, really exciting evening that we have in store for you tonight. We're going to play a bit of rugby. I don't think many people have played rugby in a church service before, so we'll get to that a bit later. But just to give you a bit of an intro, there's a lot of new faces and faces who are here for the first time. Is there anyone here for the first time tonight? There we go. We've got a couple of people. Fantastic. So thank you. Thank you for joining us. It's good to have you here. And just to give you a bit of an intro of where I come from, I have been pretty much in Pretoria my entire life. Grew up here. Went to Brooklyn Primary. From there, went to Boys High. Any Boys High guys? Boys High. And then from there, went to Tux, studied a degree in information design, and then went on to work in a cartoon company where we did animation and adverts and all sorts of things. And then from there, did a bit of adventurous jobs as well. And in 2013, I started working here at the church. So next year will be my fourth year in the young adults department. And I've been working at the school, Hatfield Christian School, for the past 2 years, busy teaching Bible and discipleship. And also do a bit of coaching. This year I coached the under-9 cricket boys, which was a challenge in itself, but a lot of fun. And then also some hockey, so hockey goalkeepers and a hockey team. And that was also a lot of fun and really, really enjoyed it. So, I do a bit of freelance graphic design here on the side when there is time, hardly ever. I think my friends will know that the best. They do see me once or twice a year. But it is quite busy. And I think more than that, more than what I do, more of who I am is about what I'm passionate about. And what I'm passionate about, first and foremost, is, and I say this with all the love in my heart, to know God and to make Him known. Like, really, each and every single day, seeking Him, to know more of Him. And with that, what you get, so that others could have that same experience, just to inspire them to do the same. York will also resonate with me. He's big into adventure. I love adventure and sports activities and stuff like that. But more than that, more than just the adventure side of it, it's more to show people what is possible with God. To show people that there's no limits when it comes to what God can do through you. To show people that the impossible is just a word. That you can do things, all things, through Him who gives you strength, provided He gives you the dream to do it and that you're not doing it in your own strength and own desire. Okay? And this year, I went on a bit of an adventure. I enjoy surfing. Do we have any surfers in the house here? I think there's Josh and his brother there. couple of guys. But I'm Pretoria's inland surfer who is still learning to surf. And I've always had this dream in my heart to like go on a surfing camp. And so this year, that opportunity came around. I joined up with a bunch of guys called Christian Surfers South Africa. They're based different locations along the coast. And their mission is basically just to see the gospel in every surfer's hands. So they're on this mission constantly doing that. So I joined up with them for this camp. And it came about very quickly. And so, yeah, a few things short. I'm on the plane. I'm sitting there. I'm getting ready for my new adventure. I don't know anybody in this surfing team. I'm jumping into this camp where it's complete unknowns, but I just think to myself, I've always wanted to do this, so hey, let me go for it. So I'm on the plane, and we've taken off now, and I'm just staring out the window, having a look down there, and then the Lord starts to speak to me. Okay, He doesn't speak to me about surfing yet. He speaks to me about perspective. And I begin to think about perspective, okay? And when you much higher up, you start to see things from a very, very different view. Very, very different view. Okay, and that perspective changes the higher you go, right? If I were to start here, this is my perspective now, but zoom out, very different idea. And it's the same for us in our life, okay? And I'm busy thinking about this thing, and then I think to myself, okay, the Lord speaks to us about, you know, renewing our mind, getting a new perspective on things. And then I think to myself, okay, cool, I remember that scripture, renewing your mind, but what does it really mean? What does it really mean? And then the Lord drops the biggest revelation I've ever had in my entire life. Okay? Now, it's huge. It changed every single thing about how I did life. Okay, are you ready for this? Are you ready for it? Okay? Every single thing that happens in life is processed through your mind. Wow. Sorry if I disappointed absolutely everybody, okay? But for me, this was huge. And I'll go on to talk about it tonight, but it's exactly that thing. Your mind controls your life. Obviously, we're called to choose a life that God leads. But our mind is the big thing that plays one of the biggest parts. Because we either make a decision to go one way or another. And that's where it comes down to, our mind. So if you think about it, emotions, touch, I don't know, all of your circumstances, everything that you have seen or experienced goes through your mind. So if we can learn to have control over our minds, we can start to have a view and to shape the future that God wants for us by making decisions that he calls us to make. And so tonight, with this is the last evening service for 2016, and we start stepping into 2017, what I really feel God has for us is a new year is going to take new thinking. And that's exactly what we've been talking about tonight. God, open our eyes to see things new. Give us a new perspective on things, how to approach this new year. And so if I were to ask you now those things, what exactly does it mean to renew your mind? Okay, think about that for a second. Renew your mind, you would perhaps think, okay, just cleansing of your mind, getting a new perspective. What exactly does it mean? I had a lot of questions that I had to ask, and I was on the plane, so there's more than enough time to think about those things and look into the scripture. And one thing, after thinking about all of the circumstances that I'd experienced in that year, okay, we all go through good things, we go through bad things. We'll have different circumstances that shape our lives. But here was one thing that hit me right in the stomach. You can't change your circumstances, but you can change how you perceive them. You can't change your circumstances, but you can change how you perceive them. And when that hit, it really made me think in terms of that thing moving forward. The choices that I make will influence my future. And I want to flip the equation. And I want each and every one of you to think about your year. Has it been a good year? For some, as Ken said, it's been a bit of a ragdoll year. I've heard of people who have gone through incredibly tough things. But for some, it's been a good year. And I want you to think on those circumstances that you've had. Think about your year. Okay, if you could go back in time, if you had a time machine, right? You've built a time machine in your garden, now you want to go back. Would there be circumstances that you would change? For some, yes. Others, perhaps no. I've got good news and bad news. Okay, the bad news, let's start with that so we can get it out of the way. Right, the bad news is that the clutch cable on my time machine snapped last week, so I can't offer you mine. All right, thank you. Yeah, that's good advice. Get an automatic one. No clutch needed. All right? But what I'm trying to get at is that we don't have power to change the past. But we do have power to change the future. And with 2017 coming up, we have a lot of choices to make. What are the choices that you're going to make? We're going to look at some scripture just now in terms of what God says to us about renewing your mind. But I want to get into a bit of a demonstration here. I'm going to need 3 volunteers. Okay, and before the hands go up, I want to give you the terms and conditions. T's and C's apply. I need one person who can throw a rugby ball. Do we have a hand? Thank you, Brad. Right, you can come up so long. I need one person who can catch a rugby ball. Thank you, Devon. And I need one more person. And let's get the ladies involved here. I need another lady who can catch a rugby ball. It depends how fast you throw it. Thank you, Asante. Come, guys, let's give our wonderful volunteers a round of applause. Okay, so I'm going to explain what's going to happen here. I need Asante on this side over here, please. I need Devon in the middle. And I need Uncle Brad on this side over here. Okay, all right. So let's just paint a circumstance. Right? Brad, for tonight and this very little moment, you are the devil. He's wearing red, so he's in character, right? Devon represents every single one of us, okay? Us as an audience, as people living. Asante is Jesus. Yay! That's pretty cool. Not many people get to say they could be Jesus, okay? And what I'm going to ask them to do is Brad is going to throw the ball. You don't have to do it yet. He's going to throw the ball to Devon. Okay, and in rugby, what happens is you would swing the ball, and the aim is to gain territory, okay? The aim is obviously to work together as a team to pass, okay? So firstly, Devon is going to hold. He's going to, yeah, so you can throw it, Brad. Right. Okay. And Dev has the ball. And generally in a rugby circumstance, what happens now is his aim is to go forward, to gain territory. Now, if you guys are the opposition, he doesn't have very many options. Okay? If he runs right here, Pastor Gideon is going to take him out. Okay? Definitely. Definitely. Okay? But on this side over here, Devon has a pass. He has Jesus on the wing. All right? Okay? And we all have that option in our life. And I want you to send the ball back there. This ball is representative of the truth and lies that Satan spins to us in our life. Okay? And he enjoys it. He loves it. And he throws that ball to us. And what happens? What happens to Dev? You can throw it to Dev. All right? And Dev goes forward, and he holds onto that ball. And generally what happens? Boom. Gets taken out. You see, the longer we hold onto that ball, the bigger the chance we have of being taken out. The longer you hold onto the truth, or not the truth, the lies that Satan weaves to you, the bigger chance you have of being taken out. And what is Dev's first option when he gets that ball? Swing, left. Okay. Jesus on the wing. And you see, this is, there we go. Thank you. Thank you. All right. Thank you, guys. That is awesome. That illustrates the point. Thank you, guys. Let's give our volunteers a round of applause. And I want us to get that, to understand that principle. Is that the longer you hold on to what the devil spins you, the bigger the chance you have of being taken out. But you see, we've always got that option down on the wing. Jesus is waiting to take it. And he already did. He died on that cross for us so that we don't have to live holding on to those things. The moment those things come along, we need to get rid of them. Let go of them immediately. Send that pass. Because otherwise, you're in for a mighty thumping tackle. And I'm sure we've all been in those places. We've gone to tough circumstances, tough things. We've held on too long. And we've gotten taken out. But luckily, there is grace. And God is the perfect one to help us, pick us, and get us up on our feet and get going again. But let's be people who just swing left. Swing right. Whatever comes your way, it's not of God. Get rid of it quickly. And what I want to do now is have a deeper look into Scripture. Because we can talk about these things all day long, but if we don't look at the truth and match it with the truth, we'll never know what life is really about. And you see, tonight we're talking about renewing our mind. But if we don't know why we're renewing our mind, it becomes redundant. It's basically the same as driving in a car, and it's like storming, and you've got a dirty windscreen. Now, you clean your wipers, but you still don't know where you're going. You see, if we have a destination, then we know what we're aiming for. And therefore, the wipers become a path to helping us get to our destination. So if I were to ask you, what is your purpose as a Christian? Some of you will have certain answers, some things, and yes, we do have multiple purposes. But one of the main things that I want to look at tonight is specifically this. It says that in Romans 8, verse 28 to 29. Okay, and this is one of our primary purposes. And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God. To those who are called according to his purpose, for whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he may be the firstborn among many brethren. And there's a couple of things that we can take. We're going to look at three specific things from this a little bit later. But there's one thing that you can take out from the core of this, is that our purpose in life is to become aligned or conformed to the image of Christ. Becoming conformed to the image of Christ. So I need one volunteer. And from the start, I kind of had an idea that it was going to be Pastor Gideon. So if you would please stand up for us. Let's give him a round of applause, please. Okay. And as a pastor, he gets to be Jesus. So that's always good. Okay. I like doing demonstrations, illustrations. It just helps me think practically as well. But I hope we can all learn from this. Okay. So in life, all right, if that is Jesus, okay, the image of Jesus, who we know him to be, and what scripture tells us to be. We all have a choice. Three choices, actually. Right? I have a decision. I can either choose to walk closer to Jesus, walk away from Jesus, or simply stand still. Three choices. Okay? All of your decisions that you make have those three implications. Yes, there are consequences, etc., etc. But if you take that at its core, towards, away, or stagnating. Okay, thank you so much. Let's give him a round of applause. And if you think about it, where do those decisions come from? Your mind. Exactly. They come from your mind. So who gets to make them? You, each and every one, you get to make those decisions. As simple as that. You get to choose whether you want to come closer to Christ, stagnate, or walk away from. Our mission in life is to become conformed to the image of Christ. So if that is our mission, what prevents us? Those truths, those lies that we hold on to so long. Well, if we know we need to get rid of it, it helps us to get closer. And you see, the decisions that you make every single day will impact what your future looks like. Will it be closer to, further away from, or just stagnating? I want to look specifically now at the scripture that talks about renewing of your mind. Because this is what really got to me. And we can learn a lot from just this scripture. So, I want to get it straight to you. I just realized I didn't have the scripture reference printed on my page. So, I'll see if I can find it for you. Or maybe we have somebody in the house who can do that. Right, so, let's jump straight into it. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Thank you, KB. Romans 12. which is acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Often we find ourselves in that place of, yeah, I just want to see what the will of God is. Well, here it is quite clearly. By renewing your mind, you begin to discern by seeing from truth what is acceptable to God. Okay, and we're going to look at three specific things from this verse that I want to take out. And the first thing that it says is present yourselves as a living sacrifice. It's Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, present yourselves as a living sacrifice. See, Jesus did it. He gave it all up. His final words, or one of the few words that he said towards the end, was, Lord, not my will, but yours be done. He gave it all up. And we are called to do that same thing in terms of laying it down. There's another scripture in Ephesians 4, verse 22 to 24. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirits of your minds, and to put on the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. You see, it's a choice. It's a choice to step towards that. And when those temptations and things come, it's about saying, no, sorry, I'm not going there. Why? Because I'm presenting myself as a sacrifice to God. Now, that does not mean literally. You're obviously not going to go and put yourself on a fire, okay? But it's about laying things down, right? The second part, do not be conformed to this world. I think there's a lot that we can say on this. Because if we look at the image of the world and what it looks like today, Satan paints a very, very pretty picture that often lures us into one thing or another. And what does it say to us here? Do not be conformed to this world. One of the things that Jesus said so clearly as well is, hot or cold, not lukewarm. Are you in or are you out? Do not be conformed. You can be in the world, but you cannot afford to be of it. It's about making a difference and bringing a change to where God has called you. And the last bit, and this gives us hope, because at the moment it looks pretty rough out there in the world. And it says here, be transformed by renewing of your, let's say it all together, mind. Okay, let's try one more time. Renewing of your mind. Exactly. Okay, and this is something that I learned quite a while ago, and I call it the Energade principle. Okay, and why I call it the Energade principle is that Energade's slogan is, it's what you put in. It's what you put in. So if you put rubbish into your mind, you can't expect roses coming out. You're going to get rubbish coming out as well. And if it says be transformed by the renewing of your mind, what you put in is what you get out. Philippians 4, verse 8. This is also just, it gives us hope, man. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Think about things that are pure. Think about things that are worthy, that are lovely. Can it's so easy to say, oh, you know, I just need to think about that. But then what about these thoughts that, you know, come my way, et cetera, et cetera? You have a choice. You have a choice what you do with those thoughts. You either give in or you say no. See, if you want to renew your mind, you can't do it with dirty rags. I use a personal filter for things that I watch, listen to, etc., etc. You need to. Because we're constantly fed this image of what it looks like, or you have to be this person to be a cover model, or you have to live your life this way. No, I'm not going to choose to live like that. I want to choose to live according to the word. And I need to apply these filters in my life to see whether it's going to affect me, whether I'm going to go out to make a change. And the question that I simply ask myself is, does what I'm doing, watching, saying, honor God? If it doesn't, well, I think you know what the option is. Get rid of it. It's a big thing. Series, movies. We think it's okay as Christians to, you know, listen to these things, but it's affecting us subconsciously. If you choose to say no in the beginning, you won't have to deal with the consequences later down the line. It's exactly that thing, man. And we need to make choices. We need to make choices that honor God in every aspect of our lives. So what now? What does this mean for all of us as a whole? Well, you've heard what the scripture says. What areas of your life do you need your mind renewed? Because there's so many aspects that we need to have our minds renewed in. Could be work. What about your work situation? What does that look like? What about your friendships? Marriages? Are you single? See, for those single people out there, and I count myself in here, we're constantly sold this myth that the right person one day is going to come along. They're going to magically complete me. Wow. Sure. Well, if Jesus can't complete me, I don't know who will. And you see, you can give him a hand, man. And that's the thing. I need to become whole in Christ to know where I'm called, who I am. And man, marriage is the most beautiful thing. Because where two people come together who are after Christ, that is an unstoppable force. But they came together first, knowing their identity. You see, we can't live by the ways of the world, by the lies that we're told. No, we need to live by the truth that we have called to do it. Now, I'm going to get a bit vulnerable here. One of the biggest areas that I learned renewing of my mind was dieting. Okay, now you might think to myself, dieting. So it's been an interesting one. When I was in primary school, I picked up quite a bit of weight, and then I lost some, and then I picked some up. And then that went on through high school, lost some, picked some up, and it's been a continuous pattern that I've had throughout my life. And I've tried diets, and we've all heard that thing saying, oh, you know, this diet didn't work for me, that diet didn't work for me. And yes, there are times when those things work. But what needs to change in this situation? My mind. Because it's not the diet that didn't work, it's that I couldn't uphold to it. Okay? That was it. And when I began to realize that, last year, towards the end of last year, Gideon had given me a diet. It was a detox diet. So I figured, oh, you know what? What have I got to lose? And so I figured I'm going to try this thing. So I went for it. And did I get the diet 100% correct? No, I didn't. No, I didn't. Did I get it 80%? I'd hope so. Okay? But that 80% was enough to do a complete lifestyle shift. You see, because when I was on diets previously, I'd constantly be standing in a place of, well, I can't eat that, I can't eat that, I can't eat that. This is all I can eat. But where's my mind sitting? It's sitting on what I can't have, all right? And 2-3 weeks down the line where you're like, diet is done, I'm going for a party, man. And I'm going to enjoy everything here. And it null and voids all of the progress that I made over the past 2 weeks. But you see, it's exactly the same with Christianity. You see, because the word tells us out of truth what we can't have and what we shouldn't do. Why? Because God knows us better. He created us. So he says, don't do this. And we stand there thinking, okay, I mustn't do that. I mustn't do that. I mustn't do that. And what happens? We end up dabbling in some of those things. And that's it. We need to understand and know that I'm saying no to those things because I'm looking for a transformational shift that changes my life, a renewed mind that will take me to a whole new level. Why? Because in pursuing Christ, you become the fullness of who he created you to be. And when I say no to those things, I mean no to them. I'm going this way because my eyes are on the prize. Okay, and yes, there's grace for those times when you mess up, but that's what you've got accountability for. You see, we need to repent and to align ourselves with what God has. And repenting is that act of saying, yes, Lord, I know I have messed up, but I am choosing to walk in your ways. And it's a choice. You get to make that choice. You get to make that choice of walking towards the Lord. And when those things come your way, swing left, swing right. Pastor Christie, our previous young adult pastor, once said it. I can't care about your future more than what you can. I can't care about your future more than what you can. And it comes down to you, each and every person here. We have decisions to make that will either honor or, well, I don't even know where that kind of life leads to. Death, destruction, whatever it may be. But earlier this year, going back to that surfing story, so after I had landed, I got picked up by four strangers. Three strangers. The one was a Norwegian, the other guy was a South African, and the other guy was from America. And now we've come together and now on our way to Port Alfred, and we get to camp, set it up and everything. And these guys are like crazy surfers, man. They just love surfing. And it's so cool because they like inspire me. And so they get to the water, they go jump in and everything. And it was about the Saturday afternoon of the weekend. And like I said, I'm not the greatest of surfers by any means. So I'm out there, and you'll know, surfers will know that a rip current is something that helps you get out to the back line. Okay, and the back line is where you want to surf because that's where the good waves are. You get closer ones and not so lacquer. All right, so you take the rip current, get out to the back, have a jaw in the back line. So I do that, and I've never been this far out into the ocean, so I'm already like, whoa, I'm by myself. Like all of the other guys are just having a crazy time out there. I'm just trying to survive pretty much. And so I get and I catch a couple of waves. And when I say catch a couple of waves, it literally almost means bodyboarding a wave in and then trying to stand, falling, getting up on your board, paddling out with the rip again. And so I learned this thing. So I was taking the sort of cycle, take the rip, come in, catch a bit of a wave, and then the rip sucks me back in. Go out, catch a wave, come back in. And so this process repeated itself a number of times, but it started to tire me out. And it kept repeating itself, kept repeating itself. And eventually, I got to a point where I couldn't anymore. I just thought to myself, I need to get out. I have to get out. But I couldn't. I was stuck. And so I was praying repeatedly, man. I remembered myself in that water thinking, I'm going to die here if I don't get anywhere. And I was just praying. And I just felt this direction of when you catch the rip, paddle further out so you can get a better direction towards the beach, catch your wave, and then you can go all the way in. So I did that and managed to get to the shore. And then I sat there and, yeah, pretty much the rest of the afternoon thinking to myself, like, what's going on here? All right, but I learned a valuable lesson in that moment. And that was the thing of, we get stuck in a rut, into that cycle that repeats itself and it slowly tires us out. Be it in work, whatever the situation is, it just keeps going around and around and around. And I feel like there are some people here tonight who can relate to that. Maybe you've been in the same situation now and you've been trying to get out for years, for months. And now's that time. And what I want to do is ask you to be so bold as, if you would like prayer for that, to stand right now. If you've gone through some tough things and you know that you need the Lord to help you out, I would like you to stand right now. And what we're going to do is just, if those around could just lay hands on those people, I'm just going to pray for you. And Father God, we thank you for an evening like this, where we can come together as a family to pray for each other, to lay our things down, the challenging situations that we have been through. Lord, in these moments, you know each and every person standing. And for those even still sitting, I want to pray right now, Father, that your Holy Spirit would come upon us, that you'll be able to give us a new perspective, a new view to our circumstances, our situations, that you will smash down those strongholds that are preventing us from becoming more like you, that you will give us a holy perspective, a word, guidance in how we can take the next steps out of that situation. Lord, be with us as we take this process, and we know that it may not just be one step, but a journey. And that's what church is for, Father, as brothers and sisters to journey together. So I thank you for each and every person here tonight who has made this decision. I pray for the wisdom of your Spirit to be over each person as they move here from tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. And that's the thing. Renewing your mind is not just a once-off thing. It's a continuous tool that we need to have in order to take steps towards becoming more like Christ. You see, God promised us suffering. He promised us trial. Why? Because those are the things that shape us. But you see, we choose. We have the ability to control our thoughts, to hold them captive, how we perceive the situations. And there are a number of practical ways to do it as well, to renew your mind. Firstly, it's about getting plugged into a community like this. Perhaps you're attending church every Sunday, and that's great, but it's not enough. You see, renewing your mind is not just a once-off, I'm going to download this and then I'm good. No. You see, God constantly needs to change us in order to become more like him. And how do we do that? Through a community of believers, through life groups, through volunteering, getting involved. There's that famous word that we all love in Christian circles, accountability. Okay? We love it to hate it. Why? Because it's one of the big things that changes us. You see, iron sharpens iron. We know that. But you see, we need to speak the truth in love to each other. Okay? And sometimes the truth is hard to hear. And if you're doing things that you know that you shouldn't, you need to stop. And if you need help, you need to speak to people, brothers and sisters here, who can do that, who can help you on your journey. But you need that. You need to hear the truth. And one of the biggest things that will also change and influence you is time with God. I'm not here to renew your mind. People help in terms of renewing each other's minds. But at the end of the day, it's God who renews your mind. It's the Spirit who renews your mind. Our attitude to him needs to be such that we need to take a step and say, Lord, constantly help me to become more like you. You see, the bigger picture of this is that as individuals, we are firstly called to have our minds changed. But secondly, to go out and influence. You see, God didn't build a one-man Christianity so that he could make you look good. No, we built to live in relationship with those around us. Why? So that we could see the world transformed. Matthew 28, verse 18, the Great Commission. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the end of the age." You see, we all have a part to play. God made you the way that he made you because he needs you to influence people in the way that he made you. He gave me a heart for adventure so that I could reach people in places that may never be reached, doing things that have never been done. But in the way that he created you, he has called you to make a difference. Let me give an example of Luke van der Merwe over here. Okay? He has an exceptional talent for guitar. All right? Now, he can choose to glorify God just simply by playing in his bedroom, or he can go out and influence the world and have the opportunity to reach people that would have never been reached through the vehicle of music, guitar. You see, it opens doors. Soccer, golf, whatever it may be, God made you a specific way for a reason. And he has called you to influence those areas. You see, your work environment is your mission field. And your gifts and talents are your tools. It's time to get ready for a new year. And each and every single day is an opportunity that we have to become new, to become like Christ. And it's a choice. You make those choices day in, day out. And just in finishing, I want to give you all homework. As a teacher, it's one of the favorite things to do. All right? I'm not going to check on you. Next week, we're not here. So it becomes your own responsibility to do. Okay, and we've got, let's say, 2 weeks before the new year starts. We always have these ambitious goals. Oh, I want to do this in the new year. Oh, I want to do that. Okay, I want to challenge you in this time. Spend time on the Lord. You and him. Personally, take a few hours. Some people need days. I like days. Okay? Isolate yourself with him. Take the word with you. Wait on a word or a scripture or something in him to speak to you that you can take into 2017. Let that be the anchor that you hold on to when tough times come. He'll give you all different words, but it may be the one thing that you need to get through the next year. And what I'd like to do is just close in prayer for us. And like I say, the homework, it'll have an opportunity to change your life. It's your choice in terms of what you do with it. So Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you, Lord, for the image and example that you set through Jesus, your Son, who came and gave his life for us, who was the perfect example. Father, we come here tonight and we give up ourselves. Lord, we make choices in our lives to do things that honor you. We choose to live a life that glorifies you, and we choose to say no to things that are not of you. Father, I pray that 2017 will be a year that will be remembered because of the change that came from a generation who is rising up for what you have called us to do. Father, I pray for relationships to be strengthened, for friendships to be strengthened, for work situations to turn around, for personal situations to turn around. And I pray that you will empower each and every person here tonight with new thinking to approach the new year. And Father, we commit this to you. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll come and guide this journey and help us step by step. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.